Welcome to The Art of Charm. I'm Jordan Harbinger. The Art of Charm brings together the best coaches in the industry to teach you guys how to crush it in life, love, and at work. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors teaching you their expertise, packing decades of research, testing, and tough lessons into a concise curriculum. We've created one of the premier men's lifestyle programs available anywhere, and it's free. This is the show we wish we had a decade ago. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best man you can be in every area of your life. Make sure to stay up to date with everything going on here and get some killer free ebooks as well as drills and exercises that'll help you become more charismatic and confident by signing up for the newsletter at theartofcharm.com. If you're new to the show but you want to know more about what we teach here at The Art of Charm, listen to the toolbox at theartofcharmpodcast.com/toolbox. That's where you'll get the fundamentals of dating and attraction such as body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, all that stuff that's more important than you might think. We've got boot camps running every single month here in California. Details at theartofcharm.com, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of you guys here at The Art of Charm. Enjoy.
So how did you – you're the men's coach. That's one of the – that's what you're known as right now. So what does that mean to you? I mean, how did – well, let's back up the truck. How did you get into this?
So I've always been that guy that people talk to when they have problems, just even from – in high school and in college and when I worked, people would just ask me problems because I was a big nerd. Well, I still am a big nerd, and I got into like the whole like self-help leadership space pretty early, and at a pretty young age I sort of took on that belief of like, why not be awesome at everything? You know, it's like sure. I am the creator of the movie script of my life. So I just kind of pushed a lot of edges and naturally found myself in like a leader coach role. And I had a corporate job doing human resources. And then my mom passed away about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
And for me, that was like the big like wake up call of like, damn, like what am I doing with my life? And
sitting at some like corporate job, just bored, mailing it in, maybe. Mailing it in and not really getting anything out of it.
Yeah. So for me, the next moves were to leave my job, sell everything I own, start traveling full time, and then doing stuff that I love, which for me was like coaching and mentoring. Mm-hmm. So I took a year off and just did a bunch of volunteer work, a bunch of traveling, did like hundreds of hours of pro bono coaching, really started my business at the beginning of 2013. And when I did, I looked at the marketplace and I looked at like what segments are not being served. And, it was men. Like there's really, in terms of coaching, there's a lot of like great stuff around like, you know, attraction and like all the work that you do with men, but just in terms of like holistic life coaching, like no one was really kind of like stepping up and serving men.
There's a lot of weird stuff for guys. That's like, no, it's cool that you're naked and we film it. And I'm not even exaggerating. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. That program where like they film this whole thing and it's supposed to be primal, but you're just naked the whole time. That's weird. Maybe I'm being judgy, but there's some weird stuff for guys that even if that's effective, the average guy is going to look at that and be like, I don't think so. There's no like entry level or even just normal level stuff. There's only like super woo and then like pickup artist, and then the Art of Charm falls somewhere in like the, I guess, sort of pseudo holistic. And then, but other than that, it's a pretty empty space.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, 'cause I've been having this discussion with people a lot. Like, I think there's like the spiritual world and then there's the material world. Like, and I think people sometimes separate those, and there's like the weird spiritual people who like wear robes and have long hair,
right?
And like they look down upon the people who like make money and who thrive at business. And then the people who crush it in business are like, oh, those spiritual guys are weirdos. But I've met people who like, they're not mutually exclusive paths. And I think a lot of like the most successful entrepreneurs I know, like they're really grounded in their spiritual practice, which is something that I try to be. Like it sounds silly and I even hate the term because it triggers me a lot, but one of my friends was like, Mike, you're kind of like an enlightened bro. Like you're not
bro lightened.
Yeah. They're like, you're still a normal dude, but like you have this deep spiritual practice. And like, that's something that I want to be. Like, I want to be accessible to all guys and not just go totally off the deep end into something kind of weird.
Yeah. And not that I have anything against weird coaching and stuff. Like I'll do pretty much anything. I mean, my last vacation was North Korea. Nobody thinks that's normal, right? So, like, that stuff, I'm all about it. But I think sometimes it's almost, I live in San Francisco now, so sometimes it's almost like a contest between how weird you can make your shit so that people are like, oh, yeah, you only did the one where they were filming you naked? Dude, there's this one where they're filming you naked, but you're on a mountain in the Himalayas, bro. And you're like, oh, I'm not cool anymore because I didn't do that one. So it's almost like, it is as spiritual as it might be. It's almost like they're just one-upping each other with the latest and greatest, like, oh, trendy self-help thing. And there's a lot of guys who start off and they're looking for some sort of truth or some sort of stability. But really it comes from, like, I tell me what you think about this. I think a lot of guys are seeking spiritual stuff now because they don't have a secure foundation. And it's almost like, well, I could handle all this weird shit that's going wrong on the home front with my health, wealth, career, but I'm going to say that that's all in order for now and then go on this higher level spiritual journey. But really it's like, no, you're just in Thailand at a monastery. It doesn't mean you're foregoing all this other stuff. You're just, it's just another form of escapism for a lot of guys. And one of the things we focus on at the Art of Charm is getting all that other stuff in order. And a lot of guys go on to do spiritual stuff and a lot of guys go on to go, just be normal family men and do whatever they want or start a business. It's more foundational. And I think, I mean, what do you think? Because you go to a lot of these retreats and stuff, I would assume, and you get a lot of training. You must meet a lot of guys where you go, wow, that guy's really cool. And then you must meet a lot of guys where you go, wow, that guy's really lost. And we're just all in the same room.
Yeah, man, I was, I love how just direct you are too. It's like, I was talking to a friend recently about monks. And I think a lot of people think like, man, being a monk is really hard. And it's so incredible. Like they just, like they give up booze and women and everything and they just like meditate all day. And I was like, no, it's like, to me, it seems kind of like a cop out. Like,
yeah.
Like they're not doing any of the hard stuff in life. And I love to just kick it in a robe and just like meditate all day and have food fed to me.
Sure.
So I totally agree. Like, people will pay thousands of dollars to go to personal development conferences, but then like at the first opportunity to like actually do some work in their life, like in their career or their relationship, they'll back out of it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I go to a lot of conferences and I've actually been at a, you know, I've done some weird stuff where I'm standing naked in front of a bunch of people, but
oh, you look like you're in decent shape. It's a different experience for you than for me. Maybe. I don't know.
I think my greatest like personal development conference or retreat, like is my life. Like, and I show up to my life and like dive headfirst into like really courageous conversations with my partner or handling stuff in my business instead of just not. And,
right.
And like, there's so many guys who just like crush it in life, like without having to go to this stuff. Granted, this stuff works. And you know, a lot of the programs that I've gone to, and I love that I'm even doing an interview with you. I listened to your stuff like years ago with my brother. We listened to it on the road trip and
awesome.
And it helped the both of us tremendously. But you know, like instead of always going to some sort of outside source or going to a retreat, just show up in your life and show up to your wife or show up to your job, like as a leader and do the work.
And it can be really tough to do that. That's one of those easier said than done type of situations, I would assume. Because a lot of guys that'll say come through AOC are like, I want to do that, but they have no roadmap for it. So there's a lot of practical skills. That's where my directness comes in. Make people do stuff, implement really practical skill sets to do it with. We stay totally away from spirituality at AOC, not because I don't believe in it. I mean, you've heard me rant on woo-woo stuff here and there, but not because I don't believe in it, but mostly just because it's not our area of competence. And also I feel like it comes after you get your other stuff together in a lot of ways or at the same time. But I don't know. I'm very wary, especially having lived in LA for the last 4 years, of trying to be some sort of spiritual center of anything, because living in Hollywood, I'm surrounded by Scientology. There's a lot of guys that are doing this like manly energy work and all this stuff. And when you get down to it, if you hear those guys talking offline, some of it is just straight up scammy bullshit, and it's disappointing because it's really like you're just taking advantage of guys at like the most sensitive direct level where they're really counting on you to lead them in the right way, and you're going, what else can I upsell? Oh, how about masculine yin to woman's yang? Let's have a week-long retreat and charge 10 grand for it. And it's only for couples because people who were couples decided they didn't need our other products because they already had a significant other. And it's like, now you're just attacking a different market segment. So it's always nice to see, especially a younger person. Like, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 32.
Okay, 32. Yeah. Younger dude. I mean, I'm 34, so we're still young. Yeah. Still got it.
Totally.
You know, it's cool to see that because there's so many guys who are doing the spiritual thing and they're a little bit older. But a lot of that is kind of born out of a lot of mistakes and a lot of experience, which not necessarily a bad thing, but also not necessarily a good thing, because I'm just questioning when I hear them talk about stuff, I'm just questioning, are you really that enlightened or are you just a really good escapist that turned it into a business? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
But anyway, we don't have to whine and cry about that stuff. I want to hear about this road trip. I mean, you traveled 12,000 miles across the U.S., which is not, by the way, 12,000 miles long, just for the geography majors in the audience here. And you did volunteer work the whole time. That's pretty awesome. I mean, how did that come about, and what was that all about?
Since my mom passed away, I'm just like really big on living life and like just even the concept of like die empty. Like I want to give everything that I have and like every present moment. Like I'm showing up right now for the interview. Like all of my awareness is focused on this interview. When I hang out with friends, like everything is, you know, it's like when I'm talking to a girl at a bar, it's like, she's the most important person in the world at that moment. So I'm just really into just the idea of like, I'm just going to show up just completely show up in every moment. And I wrote this blog, I think December of like 2011, like 6 months after my mom passed away. And I started asking a lot of people this question, like, what would you do if you won the lottery? Like, what would you do if money wasn't an issue? Cause honestly, I was just sad and I had just quit my job and I had like no idea what the next path was, but I just wanted to do stuff that makes me happy. And as I had these conversations with like my girlfriend's dad and blog readers, the same three themes kept coming up, and it was travel, volunteer, and spend time with family. So my brother and I just kind of came up with this idea of, what if we just drove all over America and did like the Great American Road Trip meets the Peace Corps, and we called it a summer to serve, and we got some funding through Indiegogo, and we blogged about it and made videos and just had this like kind of incredible adventure together as brothers. And he's 12 years younger than me, so like we really haven't spent that much time together growing up, and it was just like just the most amazing experience ever. And
why didn't you spend that much time with your brother growing up?
Because when I was born, like I was an only child till he was 12. So when I was 12,
you were like, dude, you're cramping my style right now, man. I've been getting away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So when I, like when I graduated high school, he was graduating kindergarten.
Oh, man.
Because
you guys seem close. When we had dinner the other day, a long time ago now, actually, now that I think about it, you and him were like two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
You bonded a lot on this trip.
Yeah. Now we're super close. We spent 3 months together, 24 hours a day. And and got along the whole time.
Yeah, I was going to say that two things can happen when you're in those circumstances. You come out going, well, I'm really glad that we didn't spend any more time together growing up because that guy's annoying. Or you become even closer because, yeah, you can trapped in a car with somebody and traveling with somebody. It's something we advise at AOC and on this show all the time is, oh, you got a new girlfriend? Go travel with her sooner. No, yeah, it's a big step. Do it. Go away for a weekend, even if it's just a road trip. Do it 2-3 months in, because you'll find out if she's a high maintenance crazy person, you'll know real fast. And then once you do that, you can graduate to an international trip or something like that. If you guys fight the whole time, might be a good indication, because traveling brings about a lot of stress. It brings out different sides of people they don't normally show at home. They're out of their routines. It's a really good way, sort of as a side note, to test any relationship, especially one with a significant other, because you can really, people don't have, they can't put on their makeup every morning, both proverbially and literally. They can't do that. And anytime you're tested, you know, and you're running around China and things don't go well and you're stuck in a train station overnight, you'll find out what both of you are made of, especially within that relationship. So you really enjoyed that trip with your brother, got a lot out of it, bonded really well with your brother. Let me back up a little bit. Why was it that your mother's death hit you so hard? I mean, it seems obvious that any time you lose your mom, it's going to be tough. you were younger, but your brother was really young. Did you and him have similar reactions? And if not, what do you think the reason was for the difference?
I mean, it hit me really hard because it was totally unexpected. Like, she just kind of passed away in her sleep. And, it was the first time that I like experienced or tasted death like ever in my life. So I had a pretty good run. Like I made it to 30 without
that's a long time. You've never had any classmates that died. No, your friends got hit by a car or anything
nothing.
Like that.
I had grandparents who passed away, but
it seems so natural.
They lived in Florida and Japan. So I was never really that close. So for me it was so like, so jolting, and it just like woke me up out of that kind of like that sleepwalking state that I think a lot of us are just that we're in until we experience a big loss or like until something happens. And then just literally life was never the same. Cause I realized that, oh wow, like people die. And I realized that this life isn't a dress rehearsal. And then I started to really ask those questions that I think people start to ask on their deathbed of like, how do I want to show up? And like, you know, when I'm 80, will I feel like I gave it my all, or like, will I feel like I lived a full life? And at the time it was just absolutely not. So
now, one of the reasons I asked you why coaching was important to you, and you said it matters because as women are rising up and stepping into their power, men are being left behind. Do you see your coaching as part of a greater movement, a greater men's movement?
I mean, definitely. I'm all for powerful women, and I only date powerful women, and I have a lot of powerful women that are my friends. Just women have been just doing so much work, and you know, like Oprah is like the personal development channel now, and there's, most coaches are women, and there's all these like support groups and women's circles and conferences for emerging female leaders. And for guys, like there's really nothing.
There's brobible.com and Maxim.
I laugh, but it's true. Like there's very few resources. There's, I mean, your guys' podcast, like I know Triple A Near has a podcast that I like, and there's, but in general, there's just very few resources, on, and like, what does it even mean to be a man? Like, what does that mean? And,
we don't know because our gender roles are changing and nobody's writing the new scripts.
Yeah. So
our role models are all either ridiculous in one way or totally soft in the other. And they're not accurate for what we can follow.
Yeah. So, I'm really committed to the work because I know for me, so like my story is I was a senior in high school and I had never kissed a girl, and like any experience with women was terrifying. And for most of my 20s, I just like partied and drank and played video games because I was like, I don't know, like I didn't know what to do.
Sounds like a party.
and
Halo 3.
And just even just like the core tenets of like my core tenets are just integrity. It's like speaking your truth and growth, like always just like pushing yourself every day, like acting in the face of fear and, emotional intimacy, like being able to cry and being able to express emotions. Like that's a huge one. Cause as most men, like it's beaten out of us, like on the playground or like when we're boys, or maybe our dads say like, you know, don't, I'll give you something to cry about.
That's one of my favorite lines from my dad, you know, I'll give you something to cry about. And now when I'm upset about anything, even if it's totally legit, I lost my host mother when I was an exchange student in Germany a long time ago. She recently passed away and I was so upset. And I remember being like really, really down about it and telling my parents about it. And they were just as upset. And I remember thinking I shouldn't be crying because my dad wouldn't like it. My dad was crying, you know, but it's just, you get programmed really young not to whine about little things, but we don't realize that we're not supposed to cry about those little things maybe because our dads want us to be tough and not get beat up. But that doesn't mean you should shove all your emotions into a box. And since our parents are so inequipped, our father figures are so inequipped to deal with our emotions, they just kind of treat it as this awkward occurrence that they should maybe not deal with. So you're sitting there crying and upset, and your dad's like, I'm going to be in the other room watching football when you're done with whatever's happening right here. Mm-hmm. So, and I think dads do that with daughters as well, but it's easier to comfort a daughter who's upset because you just do what you would have done with your wife. Whereas when your son's doing it, you're just kind of like, do I encourage this? what do I do with this? How do I handle this? Does he have a right to be upset? Why am I feeling awkward? Why is this triggering my own insecurities? So you're right. I think it is removed from us. It seems like a really tricky thing to get back in touch with emotion, though, as a guy. We're kind of stumbling blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I pretty much now, like at the point where I'm at, like if I feel an emotion, I pretty much experience it right away. Like I'll just cry, get it done with, and then be gone. Cause I don't want to carry any kind of like emotional blockages in my body like I did for all of my life. And my life coach training program was like pretty much just like 9 months of crying. but like in a really good way. It was just like going into old stories and old like pain and trauma and stuff that I had like literally been carrying with me all my life. And afterwards I just felt really light and free all the time. And but I think the danger of it though is when men think, oh, like I need to be more emotional, and they like come to their wife or their partner with like every emotional need, and they like almost like dump all over them, and then their partner feels like their mom or their therapist. So
yeah,
it's
not sexy. Takes a total toll on the relationship at that point.
Yeah,
you should be able to share everything with your wife, but you do have to bear in mind that like she needs you to be stable as well.
Yeah, so it's a really it's a tricky balance. There's kind of a duality in it, just like there is in everything, right?
Sure.
Some guys do need to be more softer, and they need to open up their heart, and then other guys just need to like grow a pair and just have a spine. So like anything that I ever say, it's like, you know, this isn't the absolute truth of it. Like I'm telling you this because this is what you need as a man. But you know, like you know, everything there's a range and there's an art to everything.
All right, let's get back to the show.
But yeah, on the emotional piece, you know, I'll tell guys that, yeah, you do want to like share things with your partner, but also like have a therapist or a coach or a men's group or just a handful of guys who can really hold space for you.
Sure. What does that mean? Hold space. That's one of those terms that normally I would never let anybody get away with on the show.
Cool.
So you got to
awesome.
Define it.
Yeah, so for me, holding space is just being just kind of like a neutral observer when someone wants to, like for me as a coach, holding space means when someone's like going into like a deep story or when they're just kind of venting all over me with just like what's going on, like the craziness of their life. And it's just being like kind of like a loving, like neutral witness to just whatever they're sharing. Which oftentimes, like as a man, like oftentimes that's just what your partner wants. Like she just wants you to like be there with you and just listen when she's, you know, not to fix it, not to like jump in there, just to listen to her mm-hmm. when she goes into that like emotional storm, which is normal because she's a human being.
Sure. We love doing that as guys though. She's like, there's this bitch at work and she da 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 da. And you're like, you know what? What we should do is write a letter to your supervisor and then da da da. And she's like freaking out, getting all stressed out. Because you plugged the hole that she's trying to let the steam out of and you're trying to fix this problem. Meanwhile, she probably had lunch with that chick last week and she just needs to call her and be like, you know what? That wasn't cool and everything will be fine. And we're getting all worked up. I don't know about you. I get worked up. You know, I'm like, you know what? That never liked her. You know, now it's like it's getting into me and now she's getting worked up even more. And I just made it way worse than it was. And if I just sat there and, like you said, held space, just let her kind of vent, I could probably, well, one, it wouldn't require any input from me, and two, she'd feel a lot better and be like, you heard this, guys? Thanks for listening, right? And you're like, wait a minute, that's all I have to do? Oh my God, somebody should write a book about this, right? Somebody should remind me to tell the guys about this next time I see them. You know, this works. Chill out, take a step backwards and just listen, hold space. I like that.
Yeah, and because for most of my life, I think the typical male response, because we're so frightened of emotions, is like, whoa, like I'm going to jump on my motorcycle, or like, I'm going to be in the man cave playing Halo. Like you, mm-hmm. you figure this out, you know, or they'll say like, oh man, like you're being really crazy right now. Like just, you know, I'm going to be over here. And when you're done being a little girl, let me know.
Yeah.
And to a woman that just, ugh, like that just feels horrible. You know, like that just feels like,
sure.
man. So like, this is a guy who I can't trust, and you know, and then she won't be able to open up to you. Just like she won't be able to open her heart to you. She won't be able to, you know, even open up sexually. When I learned all of this stuff, I learned it in the context of like sexual yoga, doing work with David Data. And,
was that the naked thing that you were talking about?
No, it wasn't naked. It was actually all with clothes on.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But for me, it's like we were doing these partner exercises and just communicating, eye gazing. And for me, like I really got it of like, wow, just all a woman wants is for me just to like show the fuck up and like, and be there and like be that like loving, emotional, you know, kind of like masculine, like kind of like be like that rock and not shy back and not be afraid of her and like love all of her, even kind of her like ugly, you know, ugly parts. And then like once she feels that support, then she'll show you like the beauty that she's never showed to anyone else.
Sorry, I'm hung up on this. Did you have to bring your own girl to the sexual yoga thing or did they supply?
No, it was, I mean, so like, it was all with clothes on and there was like no kissing, no touching of any kind of private parts. But, it was just like, it was like 10 men, 10 women and just doing like different partner exercises. And it was mainly just like a lot of breathing and eye gazing.
I would be so ridiculously self-conscious. Cause I'm terrible at yoga in general. And two, you know, I'd be sitting there near some girl, like working up a sweat, dripping all over somebody else. And then I've got to breathe and look into someone's eyes that I don't know.
Yeah. So
that would be tough for me.
So it wasn't yoga, like yoga, I guess it was just like yoga is just practice. It was just like, kind of like sexual practice, but like nothing intimate, like nothing. It was just literally just like being in front of someone, eye gazing, doing different prompts. And
cause you know, everybody listening to this is imagining like,
yeah,
some sort of crazy stretching / you know, everything that guys think of when they think of sexual yoga that has nothing to do with the reality of what that actually is. All right. Excellent. So, I mean, you've done a lot of your own work.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit before the show about doing, you know, in the face of fear, take a bold step forward, getting outside your comfort zone. This show is outside your comfort zone. You'd mentioned before.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. No, it's fun. When we were talking in the green room, I was like, yeah, I'm a little nervous to go on the show. And cause I used to listen to it and like, you've helped me a lot. And you know, I've done a ton of interviews and I've spoken in front of big, like huge audiences. I spoke in front of an audience of 400 people a couple weekends ago, but yeah, something about this show makes me nervous cause it's a big audience. But like when I shared that with you, one, you probably felt more connected to me.
Sure.
And then two, just that nervousness went away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm all about just like, just authentic communication. And like, I really don't use pickup lines or anything. Like when I'm in front of a woman, it's just, I say what's on my mind. Like sure. I just say,
you're in the right place, man.
Yeah, dude. I praise her and I appreciate like why she's beautiful. I tell her how I'm feeling. And there's times where I've even been, yeah, like I'm a little nervous. Like, are you nervous? And then she'll be like, yeah, I'm nervous too. And then bam, just like instant connection.
Right. And then all that baloney goes away. Are you in a relationship right now?
I'd say I have a partner who I've been like, we've been probably like a couple months. So yeah.
Okay. Good for you. How did you guys meet?
We met on the internet.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
I met my girlfriend on Twitter. I used to make fun of people that meet girls online. And now I didn't even use a dating site. It just happened on Twitter.
Yeah.
Nobody even uses, I don't even use Twitter. And I met a girl on Twitter and I live with her. It's kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah. It's really, and of course, you know, I was nervous telling people that story because it makes me, I used to think it made me sound like an idiot. You know, like you met some girl on Twitter. What's wrong with you, knucklehead? But now it's kind of like scoreboard. It worked out. Whereas before it was like, you know, hey mom, so yeah, I've been dating this girl. How'd you meet? Twitter? What is that? I don't even know what that is. So I can totally see how that would happen. Were you in a discussion or were you like actively looking for girls online?
No, I wasn't. It's just kind of like a friend of a friend and just things have progressed pretty well.
Good for you. How does she take it? You traveling all the time?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Does she come with you or is she just kind of like patient?
Nah, I mean, she has her own life and she just totally,
that's a good thing.
Yeah. she has a lot of her own life. So it's just, it's like, I finally met someone who kind of meets me on like the physical and intellectual, emotional, spiritual, like we kind of meet at all levels. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. It almost feels like cheating. Like there's just
right?
Like there's no conflict and there's no anything. It's just kind of unconditional love and support. And, And we don't even really talk about future stuff. It's just like I choose to show up every day, and we'll even check in sometimes. Like, are you still having fun? Yeah. All right, cool. So
good.
Am I.
Sweet. Yeah.
So it's like no obligation, no clinginess at all, and just love and support.
Do you think you'll get married and have kids at someday? Not with this girl. I mean, don't, like, I'm not her mom. So are you going to marry her? Are you going to have babies? Do you have those? Do you look at the future and see that for yourself?
Yeah, I do. Because so one of my big things is, like, just anytime I'm given a fork in the road, I choose the path that leads to the most growth. And for me, you know, over the past couple of years, it's been quitting my job and traveling the world. And, you know, for a while it was like talking to every beautiful woman that I saw. And,
sure.
You know,
pushing yourself outside that comfort zone,
sleeping with them, you know, that whole phase. And, but like, I know right now for me, it's my business, like just really pushing in my business and, you know, doing interviews that kind of scare me or like going really big in my work. I know that there's probably going to be one day where I'm going to look at that road and say, yep, I think it's having kids.
Yeah.
That is the scary thing.
You mentioned choosing the fork. Well, when you see the fork in the road, choose the prong, I guess, that leads to the most growth. How do you know what that's going to be?
Normally it just scares you.
Yeah. Normally it just, that's the one where it makes you go, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah. It just kind of scares the crap out of you. And you know you want it, but then you're like, oh gosh, that it sucks. And then, yeah, that's the road.
That's the road, huh? Nice. So one of the things that we had mentioned before the show is getting around, being hung up on the opinions of others. You write it as zero fucks, which is, you know, a good way to put it, as good as any. What does that mean to you? And honestly, what's the practical application of that? Because it's easy, you know, a lot of guys, especially when they're starting the self-improvement and men's movement type stuff, they'll say, you know, I don't give a fuck, I don't even care. But you look at them and you're like, you care so much that you just, every Facebook status is about how you don't care.
Yeah.
And then look at my car and I don't even care. And like, oh, I'm doing dating thing and I don't even care. And my job sucks. You know, it's like you care a lot. So one, how do we know we're doing this right and we're not accidentally giving fucks when we're supposed to have zero fucks?
Yeah. So I'll tell the story of where that started. So I was with some friends in Vegas and there were four of us. And this was way before I did all this work and I was, you know, still shy. Like even today I'm still shy of, like, I still get shy around certain beautiful women. Like there's certain ones. So I don't want anyone to ever think like, oh, these guys are invincible. Like they can,
right.
You know, like there's still people who make me a little nervous and
sure.
Like, and that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. All the time.
Cause
yeah.
I'm a human.
Yes. Yes. That should be the case.
Yeah. But, we were in Vegas and it was four of my buddies. And just for some reason, you know, like those nights when you go out and you're kind of in your head and you're a little nervous and you're overthinking probably cause you're in Vegas and there's a lot of just like super hot chicks everywhere. And we just weren't being ourselves. And my buddy Elias goes, all right, he's like, let's just go zero fucks tonight. Like, let's just pretend that we're just like hanging out in our living room and let's just get real silly. Like, and that phrase, it was almost like a light switch just like went off in our heads and instantly we're like, yeah, like who cares? Like, I don't know any of these people. And then
right.
We just had a super wild, fun night talking to everyone. Just, you know, one of those kind of nights. And that just sort of became like a mantra for me. Anytime something scary or, you know, like anytime if I'm going to go, you know, if I see some beautiful woman in Whole Foods and I really want to talk to her, it's like, you know, zero fucks. I'm just going to go talk to her, tell her what I want to tell her and completely be like non-attached to the outcome.
I like that a lot. I think, you know, you and I share this sort of mini mantra, which is that honesty is the greatest aphrodisiac. And I think this is great. And I think, again, along with zero fucks, this is something that's quote unquote popular in the men's movement. But the idea is a lot of guys do it wrong. And a lot of guys are going, how do you do honesty wrong? Well, they'll do something where they're kind of being gross or like too forward. And they're like, you're really cute. I really want to fuck you or something. And then like a lot of people go, oh, he's so honest. He's saying right what's on his mind. I'm of the opinion that, and there's some guys that do that and they get away with it and whatever. It's fine. There's a lot of guys that do that, I think, almost as a screen that goes, if she rejects you, you go, well, you know what? I was just honest. And if she can't hang with that, then, you know, fuck her. That's bullshit. And they get really just kind of gross about it. And there's a big difference between being honest and being just a vulgar jerk to try to push people away slash reject them before they reject you. How do you know whether what you're doing is honest and authentic versus you're doing it just for slash shock value? I mean, it's hard for us to even be honest with ourselves as guys. How do we suddenly get honest with strange, beautiful women at Whole Foods?
Yeah, I was going to say the same exact line too. Like sometimes there's guys and I'll just walk up to a woman and be like, yeah, I really want to fuck you right now. And
yeah,
and of course the woman's like, who are you?
Yeah, okay, rapist. Like, no thanks. Just want my kombucha.
So how do you use like the sword of truth, or like, how do you be radically honest? So for me, my litmus test is, are my words opening her or closing her? So like, are my words serving expansion or contraction? So an example is like, I could walk outside right now and see like an overweight guy eating a hamburger, and I could be like, hey dude, you're fucking fat. Like, why are you eating that hamburger?
Yeah.
And like, you should eat a salad. So that's the truth. But that, and like those words will close them down and they'll hurt them. And it's like, why would I even do that? So for me, like my litmus test in every moment with a woman is, am I opening her or am I closing her? And the way that I tell is I'm so present with her, and I'm watching her eyes. I'm watching the way that she breathes, like, even just kind of like sensing, like looking at her shoulders, are they caving in or is she opening up to me? So a model that I kind of came up with, and I really haven't talked about this much, is like the way I see sex or attraction. It's like A to Z, and you have to go through every letter of the alphabet. So if A is walking into a bar and like making eye contact with a woman, and Z is like putting your penis inside her, you have to go through every one of the steps. And so,
yeah, this isn't like a sobriety test where you do the alphabet backwards.
So A might be like making eye contact. B might be just like holding eye contact with her. C might be just like walking up to her kind of slowly, like in your body, just really calm. D might be just saying whatever's on your mind. And E might be like, you know, just like touching her on her shoulder. And F might be like reaching around and like grabbing her lower back and pulling her into you. And you know, it's like, there's just
sure these escalation, yeah, physical just escalation.
And I think where guys mess up is they'll start at like F and G. Like they'll walk up to a girl and, you know, put their hand around her back and say, hey, what's up? And of course she freezes and she like freaks out and she's like, who the fuck are you? And,
and
you've built no rapport at all. Like you're just some stranger who totally violated her physical boundaries. So
I used to do that.
Oh,
I was just trying to see what I could get away with.
Yeah, me too. Totally. Yeah. and the sad thing is that it works sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
So you might get like slapped, or you might have some woman who like feels pity for you and sleeps with you, or
just like damaged somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just some girl's super drunk and just hasn't gotten laid in a year and say, oh, cool. Like, here's a man who likes
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
But like, are those the kind of women that you want to be partnered with? Like, are those the kind of women that you want in your life? And, you know, probably not. Like, and the kind of woman that you want, just needs to feel that you're a trustworthy guy. And a lot of that is just like slowing down and taking your time and building rapport and appreciating her. And yeah, just, I mean, all the stuff that
sure, the interaction
you guys
map.
Teach.
Yeah, yeah. The Art of Charm interaction map in alphabet form. But yeah, I totally agree with that. Of course.
All right, let's get back to the good stuff.
One of the things that you'd mentioned earlier is you thought about what you would do if you only had a short while to live. And this is actually an exercise that we discussed before the show, and you journal out everything you'd do if you had a month to live.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like, death has been one of my greatest teachers. And, I just came up with this exercise with a client one time. It just came to me and I said, hey dude, like not that this is going to happen, but let's just say you went to the doctor and you had a month to live, and like really drop into that. What would you do? Like, how would you spend it? And he, you know, and he just gave me a list of a bunch of stuff. And, you know, it was things like, everyone has the same list, and normally I'd call my mom and dad and tell them that I love them, or I'd call my brother and apologize, or I'd, you know, I'd call these people and just say I'm sorry, or I'd you know, get clear with my old business partner who was my best friend for 20 years, but then things fall apart and now we hate each other. And,
right.
And I'd probably spend more time outside and I'd have more sex with my wife and I'd probably have like a big party for all my friends to come over and, you know, and they'll have a list of things. Yeah. And I'd take that road trip that I've wanted to take for the past 10 years. And then I'll say, all right, like there's your homework.
Yeah.
And do that stuff. Cause that's what you really want to do. Like that's the most important stuff to you. Not, you know, not like whatever you think it is. So yeah, I think whatever you want to do, people ask me all the time, like, oh, Mike, like what should I do with my life? And that makes me sad and afraid that another human being is like giving his entire life and putting it in my hands. And my normal answer is just do what makes you happy and do what scares you. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all you have to do.
I get that question all the time. And it is kind of terrifying because of course, I'm like, well, you need to evaluate this and that, and that. But really, I'm just going, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know any more than you do, you know. But it is, there are ways to get there. We do a lot of that. A lot of guys after AOC, especially when they come to the boot camp or whatever and they get sort of the fundamental stuff out of the way, once you kind of handle certain areas of former where you formerly didn't have competency, a lot of times you go, oh, this other path is so clear now that I don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Or now that I have a lot of self-trust and confidence, I don't really need to worry about X, Y, and Z, which is the thing that like dominated their life a few months prior. And it's really nice to have that clarity because then a lot of people go, oh, well, I knew I hated my job, but I didn't have an alternative. And now I realize I don't need one,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
or that I can find one. Another thing is this energizes and drains spreadsheet. I was just telling somebody about this today. I really like this because essentially you decide who is a value add and who is an energy vampire in your life. You want to tell us about this because this is really, I think everybody should just do this right now, basically.
Yeah. So especially for the guys listening on the call, like just the fact that you're listening means you give a shit about your life, which puts you, I'd say, like in the maybe top 20% yeah. of...
It's
of,
funny you should say call, because we're actually live. I'm almost always not live, but this is the only time that it is not a call. But for those of you guys listening on this actually live show, go ahead. Sorry,
yeah.
good job.
So it's like you care, about, like you're doing the work, like you're trying to figure out this thing called women and sex, love and intimacy. And most guys never have the courage to even do that. There's probably, you know, maybe guys in your life who might like make fun of you for listening to the podcast.
Totally.
Like,
there's a lot of guys that won't tell their friends about it.
Yeah.
Even though it could be the greatest gift they ever give their friend. Cause they know their friend's going to be like, oh, that's gay, bro.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So I give this exercise to my clients because my clients are guys who are like rapidly up-leveling their life. Like they want more from life. They're diving in head first. They're doing the work. They're, whether it's women, they're approaching women or diving into their business. And then all of a sudden they kind of look around and they're like, wow, like I don't really have any friends who I like enjoy hanging out with anymore. So I kind of created this idea of a spreadsheet where you just take a piece of paper, you write a line down the middle, and on the left you write the word energizes, and on the right you write the word drains. So energizes are the people that you hang out with, and afterwards you actually feel better. Like you feel more inspired, and the conversation's awesome. Like they're not always like putting you down in front of other people, and they're like legitimately good people who care about you. Drains are the people who, again, same thing, like, bro, that's gay. Like, why are you going to a boot camp? That's stupid.
Yeah, you don't need that, man. Yeah. You're cool, man. Like, that's just stupid. You're an idiot for doing it. And it's weird because it's like, I'm telling you this really personal thing, and I'm going to help you get to the next level, and I've been working on this. And they're like, that's dumb. It's
yeah.
like the ultimate rejection, slap yeah. in the face.
Or they make you like feel guilty for like being successful with women or
yes.
like for your business and literally like they're taking their own pain and resentment for doing nothing with their lives and they're like putting it on you. And the thing that I say a lot to my clients, and I think I've said it, is that you are the creator of the movie script of your life. Like every day you make a choice to do everything you want. And granted, a lot of these things are habits, but it's like you control every minute of your day, like whether you know it or not. So who do you want to hang out with? Like, do you want to hang out with people who are badasses, who like make you feel good about yourself, like people who inspire you? Or do you want to hang out with people who like make you feel like shit and make fun of you for trying to better yourself, for trying to like get this stuff figured out in your life? So for me, it's like I give this exercise to my clients, and then like the next step, or like the pro level, is take all those people on the left and then just throw a meetup with them, or like have them over your house for a barbecue or like a football game, and just say, hey, like you guys are the 8 most badass dudes I know in Los Angeles, and then you should all meet each other. And then you've kind of created your own like wolf pack or your own little tribe of awesome guys, and then you get to create those connections and social proof and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's powerful to introduce people into that. What do you do with the people on the right that didn't make the cut?
Just kind of don't hang out with them as much anymore, or just don't hang out with them as much, or limit your time. And some people will say like that sounds horrible, or like that's a dick move to do. But seriously, who do you want to hang out with? Like, who do you want to be spending time with? The people that make you feel good or the people that make you feel bad?
It's got to be pretty tough to evaluate that. It's really easy to feel if somebody's like, I hang out with Mike Krostowski today and I feel really good. But it could be tough if this other person who makes you feel bad is like, well, we used to feel good and we've known each other for a really long time, but lately not so much. How do we sort of draw the line between that person's having a hard time in their own life and making me feel bad versus this person's actually toxic and needs to go?
You know what? I think just like follow your gut. Like I pretty much use like my gut or just intuition to make any choice. I don't do anything in my business that doesn't feel good. Like I don't do anything for the money or like for exposure. And I've been offered a lot of opportunities that just seem really yucky that they're just like, oh, hey, yeah, I won't even go into it.
Yeah. We can talk about that offline.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. I know you get inundated with those.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's like, I just really take pride in just being around people that make me happy. And it's taken me a lot of work to get here, but for the most part, like everyone in my life is just awesome and they love me and they support me. And that feels really good, 'cause I know for most of my life that wasn't the case at all. So.
Absolutely. One of the major, I guess, I hate to say trends, but it seems like I'm hearing about it a lot in personal growth / moving forward is gratitude and showing gratitude, feeling gratitude. You have something called the greatness inventory, which I really dig because it's something that I think has been good for me personally, just figuring out what I'm good at, why I should be happy that day, especially, you know, you wake up rainy morning, you don't feel like it. Everybody has those days occasionally. I find for me, they're pretty much, there's probably one every 6 months or something, but you know, it happens. It helps to snap out of it. I think this is a great way to do it. What is the greatness inventory?
So it's something that I came up with to combat the, like, I'm not good enoughs, and the, I'm not good enoughs never go away. And I think when we had dinner, I asked you, I was like, yeah, dude, like, do you ever feel like a fraud, or like, do you ever feel like, man, like, how am I giving advice to millions of people? Like, you know, there's times where I would put myself in like the 0.001% of like confidence. Like I've done a lot of stuff. I've done a ton of work, but there just all the time there comes up with these times where just, I don't feel good enough. Like I'm not good enough to like speak on that like really big hot podcast, or, oh shit, there's Tim Ferriss or like Richard Branson. Like I want to talk to them, but like, I'm not cool enough. Or,
right. Like, what value could I offer this person? Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of created this exercise to just, And I think I asked a client, hey, can you write me a list of like 30 things that, like 30 reasons why you're great? And it's like, I'm great because this, I'm great because this. And I think so many times, like, we forget all of the times when we kicked ass in our body of work, and we're only like looking at like what we're staring at right now and just thinking, oh man, I'm not good enough to do that. So I've given this assignment to clients, and they always send it back, and I'll look at it and think like, oh man, like you should be coaching me. Like you're one of the most like remarkable human beings. Like you've done all this, like you have a PhD and you like tried it for the Olympics, or you cured cancer and you're worried about talking to girls.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I think we, we forget all those times where we just like showed up really big or just had a big success. So yeah, just take a greatness inventory, literally write down, I am great because blank, I am great because blank. And normally I'll tell guys to do like 30 of them. Like if they're really down on themselves, I'll have them write a list of 50.
Right.
And as they're writing it, it's like they're literally remembering each of those memories and like kind of going back into the film strip of their memory, reliving it and kind of getting that confidence boost in their body. And then they look at the list and go, oh yeah, like I don't suck. I'm pretty badass.
Yeah. So. It's, you got to collect evidence to combat that unhealthy belief system that you've adopted over time that says I'm not good enough, I can't do this, etc. And the only way to do that is just to collect a lot of data in a manual way. A lot of people will go, yeah, I know I can do that. But really it's, if you know you can do it, why aren't you doing it? A lot of times we have to manually collect that evidence, and that's a great way to do it. Tell us about this conference that you're running. What's going on with that? By the time you listen to this, you missed the first one, but maybe you can catch the next one.
Yeah, so the conference, it's called The Conference for Men, and it's in San Diego, April 25th through 27th. And
2014.
Yeah. I created it because I, like as I traveled and I talked to just hundreds of guys, I noticed two big pain points. And one was that like men don't have any like real deep connections with other men. It's a lot of just like posturing and like, hey bro, you know, and a lot of competition. And another thing is just men are horrible at asking for help.
Yeah. So bad at asking for help. Oh my gosh.
And that's like, that's why most men feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders, because they just they can't ask for help. And so I had this idea of just creating a conference where guys can go and just kind of like dive into their life. And I have 20 speakers, just thought leaders and like spirituality and sexuality and relationships and entrepreneurship. Some guys with like a decade, you know, decades of experience in this, and just to create a room of just like really badass dudes who actually care about like making a difference in the world and care about creating a life like worth living and a life worth writing about. Cause for me, I know going to conferences has totally changed my life, and it's just from the people who I've met and the people who I've been introduced to. Like they almost just like pulled me into this like wild new world of online entrepreneurship. Like pretty much 2 years ago, I had a corporate job, and now I'm traveling all over the world and coaching, speaking, and writing. But it's because I met some really awesome people who like saw something in me and said, "Yeah, like you should probably try this out." So it's just a place for guys who want more from life and who are actually doing the work, right? And who aren't just like reading ebook after ebook and just like buying DVDs from Tony Robbins and never listening to them. Like these are the guys who like actually are doing the work. So just a room full of those badass dudes with a bunch of amazing speakers, and it's all experiential learning based too. So they're going to be doing a lot of exercises in their life, like a lot of comfort challenges. It's not the kind of conference where you go and hear a bunch of famous people speak about how inspirational that their life is, and then you do nothing, and then you go back to your job on Monday, and nothing's changed.
Right, and you're like, yeah, I've got a lot of notes and books to buy and read later from the people who went and spoke. Yeah.
So it's actual doing work and a lot of small group work and a lot of like facilitated processes. So my goal is like every guy to walk out like feeling just like walking like a foot taller and having this like kind of like badass army of just other guys who also like love and support him and who are into doing this work.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Mike Hrostoski, HROSTOSKI.com. Really?
Yes, I know.
Come on,
dude. Yeah.
It'll be linked in the show notes. Don't even try to type it in. Just go to theartofcharmpodcast.com, go to the show notes, and you can get that. And it'll be a lot easier. Thanks so much for your time, man. That was an excellent show.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for the good questions.
All right. Show feedback and guest suggestions. We rely on you guys to help keep our finger on the pulse. So if you know someone who's a good fit for the show, let us know at jordanh@theartofcharm.com. Bootcamp details for our live programs also at theartofcharm.com. And that's where you're going to find links to us on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media as well. If you're listening to this but you're not subscribed in iTunes or Stitcher or something like that, then that needs to change. Getting our shows delivered free to your phone or computer is the best way to make sure you don't miss a thing. You can do that by going to iTunes and searching for the Art of Charm podcast, or by going to theartofcharm.com/iTunes and clicking subscribe. That's really it. And you guys can help us. Subscribe in iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Write something nice and we will love you forever. Just go to iTunes.com/theartofcharm and it'll take you right there. When you write us a review, it not only makes us feel proud, but it helps keep us up in the ranks so that other people who can use this information can find the show more easily to get the credible advice that they need. It's also the best way to support the show other than purchasing products and training from us. So tell your friends, because the greatest compliment you can give us is a referral to someone else, either in person or shared on the web. Now have a great week, go out there and get social, and leave everything better than you found it.